Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to this week's edition of The Social Media Chef. It's me, once again, Chris Tompkins, The Social Media Chef. You can join us every single week. Generally, we are live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't have a chance to listen to Blog Talk Radio, you can always check back at our link on Blog Talk Radio, which is, once again, Blog Talk Radio. com/socialmediachef, or if you go into iTunes, just search for The Social Media Chef, and our show will pop up, and you can subscribe to our podcast. Really, really easy. Downloads instantly when you open iTunes. Very, very easy. Also, we always update our website, which is servedfreshmedia.com. We've actually added some more recipes, more blogs. I've done a couple videos, all dealing with my two favorite subjects, which are social media marketing and cooking. I know, two very different things, but things I love. Let's put them together. They're lovely. Check out the blog. It's wonderful. Lots of great information there, especially if, you know, it's the beginning of the year. In 2011, we really want to make a splash. Why don't you check it out? Maybe there'll be some tips that you can actually make your kitchen more vibrant and actually make your business more vibrant as well. On there as well, on the servefreshmedia.com site, top right-hand corner, you can see the Twitter links, Facebook links, LinkedIn links, Plaxo, YouTube, you got it. Connect with me anywhere. If you have questions, if you have show ideas, shoot them over my way. Like I've said in previous episodes, we have some guests that we're going to be having on upcoming shows. If you'd like to be a guest, you know what, we'd love to have you. Get in touch with us at info@servefreshmedia.com or just pop over to servefreshmedia.com and fill out the contact form on the site. Now, let's get on to today's show. As you can tell, I'm going to apologize in advance. I have a little bit of a cold, so I sound a little bit stuffy. But, like I said, the show must go on. Well, the show must go on a few days late. I wanted to go out live on Wednesday, but we're doing it Friday. It's a lovely day, and it's a perfect day to talk about what is our subject today, which is getting the word out and keeping the weight off. How weird is that show title? You know what? I came up with that because two of the things that I always find in the new year is that people always want to drop a lot of weight. They want to refocus their business and really, really rebrand, re-promote, just get out there and, I want to say, almost relaunch yourself personally and professionally. So I thought, what the hell, let's put a show together today where we really talk about two ways of doing that. Now, are these the only ways to do it? Of course not. But these two things that we're going to talk about today will really help you, number one, promote your business, and second, eat a little bit lighter this time and still have all the deliciousness that you're used to. Now, first off, let's talk about business, and we'll end with pleasure, okay? So on the Social Media Chef, first thing we want to do straight off the bat is we want to talk about email marketing. If you want to get the word out, email marketing is a wonderful way of doing it. Now, here's a couple ways that email marketing is used. People blast using social media marketing, hence the term email blast. Now, I don't like the idea of blasting, because blasting is almost like getting some dynamite and blowing up the side of a building. We don't want to blow up buildings, because if we're thinking about it, each one of those email addresses is gold. You've spent so much time picking up those business cards and adding them to your database, or getting them people to sign up on your website, on your forums, or collecting them through your social media connections. You've spent so much time. And if you haven't, by the way, you need to. Databases are very, very important. Email marketing is very important to a successful business. Aside. Now, why would you blast those people? If you spend so much time really making those relationships perfect, why would you want to explode them in a way where they shatter? What we want to do is we want to look at email blasting in a different way. We want to use it as a way to continue a conversation. One of the main rules of social media marketing is that you want to converse and engage with the people that you are connected with online, and even if you're not connected, you want to just go in there and you want to engage. Well, email marketing allows you to really do that on a regular basis. Now, a lot of people, I think, get it wrong when they focus their email marketing strategy on sales. Sales, 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 push, 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 push. Okay, let's think about it. How many times have you received an email, all of a sudden you're getting emails from somebody that you have no idea? Okay, number one, a lot of times that will happen to the people that have actually opted in, that you received their email addresses. Okay, so just keep that in mind. So you get your email address, you get this email, you have no idea where it's coming from, and this person's trying to sell you something. Well, you give it a chance, and if it's just a big sales push, you unsubscribe. Well, what are you going to do if you're in the same boat? Put yourself in your audience's shoes. 9 times out of 10, these people may not remember that they've signed up for or given your email address. Giving you their email address, rather. So you want to really approach them with kid gloves. For example, if you're starting off anew, you've never done email marketing in your life, well, you need to do an introduction, you know, an introduction email to, we're going to be sending you some wonderful things over the few weeks, and letting people know. You know, it's wonderful to sell your product, but it's also really great to engage your audience. So what I suggest is, number one, if you are a small business and you have maybe under 5,000 names in your database, there's a great Constant Contact is a wonderful service. It's very, very affordable for the small business, small to medium, I would suggest. And you can make a beautiful newsletter. You can do wonderful emails. It's really, really a wonderful tool. Also, it gives the opportunity for people that are receiving the email to opt out if they please, which is definitely the way to go. Now, if you have that account, which is going to cost you very, very minimal money a month, I mean, we're talking like between 30 and 50 bucks, really affordable. What you want to do is you want to come up with a consistent way of being in front of them. For example, a schedule of when you're going to do these email blasts. I know, everyone hates when I say the word schedule, because schedule means that you have to think in front of what you're going to do. Thinking ahead saves you money, okay? And having things done ahead of time will save you time. So I know planning is something that we, like nowadays, everything's happening so fast. Oh, I can't plan. Everything's changing. Garbage. You can plan. Set some time aside. Get everything in order. And it's going to run like a well-oiled machine rather than a clunker that you have to constantly go and tend to. So what you want to do is find out how often you want to send it or how often you can actually handle sending out and preparing an email blast. Say, let's take my firm, Go Media. What we do is we send out 4 a month. If we can't do 4, we'll knock it down to maybe 3, depending on how busy we are and how able our copywriters are to get everything together. Now, say we're doing it 4 times a month. What am I going to say 4 times a month, everybody? Well, what would my audience enjoy hearing, or Go Media, rather,'s audience enjoy hearing? Well, what they enjoy is they want to find out how to make their Facebook page pop and how to make their tweets be read and how to connect with 1 million people on LinkedIn. Well, what we try to do is we come up with tips articles that we can share every single week with our audience that can actually help them grow their business. Now, the wonderful part about that is that we're giving away wonderful information for free, and because we want everyone that receives that to be able to build their business. Well, it creates credibility because these tips are tried and tested so they can go and be used, and, you know, the people are going to have success with that. Also, it allows us to get a better relationship. There's more trust. There's more credibility. So when it gets to a point when we are having a new product that we're going to put on special or service, we can announce it, and everyone's going to be interested because we're not hitting them with, oh, you need social media marketing. You need to outsource your social media marketing every single week. Our goal is different. We want to really help our community of people rather than constantly sell to them and pitch. I suggest that as a wonderful strategy. If you can do a push and pull strategy at the same time, you're going to be successful. And maybe once a month you send out an offer, and the other few weeks you send out quality information. Or perhaps one offer, a newsletter, and one information piece. Mix it up, because if you're giving the people the same thing every single week, and it's 20% off ink cartridges, or 50% off this, or 2-for-1, or call me now, I'm the best, this is me, that gets boring. People unsubscribe to that. And what's wonderful about a service like Constant Contact is you're constantly updated on what people like and what people dislike. For example, I sent out an email blast around Christmas time that was a test. And what we did was, instead of sending out e-cards this year, I sent out a couple recipes. Well, obviously, it was a big fail because people weren't interested in it, and they almost felt like they were insulted. So there was a lot of people that unsubscribed. Well, then I can review the strategy, sit down with my team, and we can come up with a better way of attacking the next different holiday season. So it's trial and error. For example, I've been doing email marketing for nearly 20 years, and I've never really thought about, well, not 20 years, goodness, it was the internet even around them, but I've learned that you have to change your strategy quite a bit, so you have to really listen to the numbers, because it is a numbers game at the end of the day. Constant Contact allows you to monitor a lot of that, but there's a lot of other services. There's MailChimp, there's you can even use your Outlook, and you can use CRMs like Goldmine. There's lots of really great ways to manage your email blasts. But, again, move away from email blasting and think about email marketing. Now, email marketing is a great way also to announce things. So if you're doing, say you're doing, you have YouTube videos, you have online, you have a radio show, you have a TV show, you have appearances, a newsletter once a month would be really great for you. And you can add that into your email marketing. So do a company. Or if you're an individual, such as a coach, or you're a financial analyst, or a management consultant, once a month, if you're going around doing impressive things, wouldn't it be wonderful to send out your database once a month, something that is just really hot, saying that, oh, I was speaking at Columbia, and then, this is the interview I did with New York Today, and I also was mentioned in this newspaper, sharing the links, getting people to take a look at all this. It's great. You just have to position it in a way that your audience is going to enjoy it. If your audience likes to hear how wonderful you are and you want screaming fans, then obviously you want to go a more egotistical route on it. If you want people to think you're warm and fuzzy and walk away with some good information, then, you have to position it that way. I mean, the long and short of the whole thing is that you really need to do it with consistency. You have to email market with the idea of email marketing being one of the aspects of the overall marketing plan. But above and beyond, just don't forget it exists. People think because of social media, this is something that comes over to my area, my firm's area, that just because we have social media sites, email marketing's out completely. It's not true. Email marketing is still as important as ever before. And my firm is specifically social media online marketing, and we need email marketing. Absolutely. I would never stop email marketing. I think it's a really powerful medium, and if your business isn't doing it, I think just take a tour of one of the email marketing software that are out there. They're very inexpensive. They're easy to learn. You don't have to be a techie. I'm not supremely techie. And just take a look and see if they're right for you, and then start collecting names. A wise old woman once told me that the worth of your business is based on the amount of names in your database, and that's the level of success. I think that's very true. And the more people that you're able to reach, and it's actually your reach. It's not names. It's not numbers. It's actually the reach that you can get. It's really, really important. And if you're getting in touch with these people every week, they're going to remember you. Okay, I'm beating a dead horse. Do email marketing. Do your research. Do it consistently. Send out good messages. Think outside of the box. Don't load it down with traffic. There's a million things I could tell you. But just don't forget it's there. It's a very valuable tool that you can get. And just the reason why I'm harping on this is that I've spoken to, I would say, 6 out of 10 of the businesses that I speak to on a regular basis before, at Go Media, they are not doing email marketing for their business. So I have some numbers out there that I've seen, so that's why I really want to push it towards all of you that are listening today. And there you go. Now, let's move into something a little bit lighter, where I'm not harping on you, and we're talking about eating light. Okay, everyone that knows the social media chef here knows that my favorite food, when people ask me, some people say pizza, some people say cheesecake, salad. I know, I'm boring. I can go to the fanciest restaurant in the entire world and get a salad. Why? I love it. I love the fresh ingredients. I love the different nuances of the dressing. I love all of those sorts of things. So when you're coming into January, one of the things that a lot of people are trying to do is lose that weight. Well, one of the things I like to do is obviously really bump up the salads, because if you're eating a lot of vegetables, you know, it's a great way to detox your body and really wake it up to the natural flavors that are out there. And, you know, generally, I mean, this is a window into my world. Generally, every January, I will cut off all alcohol and all meat, except for seafood, of course, because I can't forget seafood. And what I do is I try to do that so I can cleanse my palate. So when I'm cooking in February, I can actually taste everything. Because I'm guessing everyone out there, well, most of you, have had heavy meals over these holidays that have just passed. You know, whether it be Hanukkah or Christmas or New Year's, you know, there's so many, lots of dairy and cheese and fat and Crisco and yuck. So, you know, you really want to get your palate back to normal. So that's generally what I do. And I'm telling you, it works wonders. Because for a while, I was over-spicing everything. And it was just because my taste buds were totally out of whack. Helps you get them right back in check. Now, enough about my taste buds. Let's move on to these salads. Now, one of the things that I really like, and anyone that knows me knows that I absolutely love when it comes to salads, is I love salads with a little bit of Asian flavor. Now, by Asian, I mean any sort of Chinese or Japanese or Thai, any flavors like that are just really wonderful. Now, the first one that I want to talk to you about is one of my favorites. It's a pomegranate and orange salad. Depending on where you live, pomegranates are probably still available. If you can't get pomegranates, sometimes you can get them at some of the larger supermarkets like Costco and Sam's Club. But, you know, you have to really, you know, see if it's in season. If they're not in season, I'll give you a really nice way of making it work without having that. Now, this is what you need to make the salad. This makes, we're talking the salad is not something you're just going to eat yourself. This is something that you're going to have as maybe like a starter to like just freshen your palate before a meal, or as a light lunch, or as a snack, okay? So with this pomegranate orange salad, the first thing you want to get is one ripe pomegranate. If you cannot get a ripe pomegranate, there's pomegranate juice that you can get. I would suggest using a half cup to a full cup, depending on the wetness of the entire salad. I usually go a half a cup or lower, but really you can eyeball it. So one ripe pomegranate, 3 oranges, 1/3 cup of cilantro leaves, or coriander leaves, depending on what you want me to say, 2 tablespoons of good quality extra virgin olive oil, and 1 teaspoon of sea salt. That's it. This is how easy this salad is. Watch what you do. You just get the pomegranate, cut it, you take out all the seeds, okay? We hate doing that. Is there any tricks? There's a million tricks. Google them. Now, once you get all of the little seeds out, you want to squeeze them. Okay, now what you want to do is you want to try to get the juice out of these suckers. So do that. Then remove the skin from the oranges and, you know, take out all the seeds and cut them into, I don't know, 1/4-inch slices. So once you get that all cut up, you just want to put the oranges in with the pomegranates and the pomegranate juice. So basically what I do with the pomegranates is just kind of like a potato masher. and just, like, you know, just beat them a little bit. You want to get some of the juice out. You want to get it too juicy. Then pop those oranges into the same bowl. And then you want to add the cilantro. What I like to do with the cilantro is just tear it with your hands. Don't get all fidgety with dicing it and all that, because you have to remember the stuff is going to be very juicy, so you don't want to be, I don't know, too small, because then it's going to turn into, you know, really, really soggy stuff. So we don't want to go there. So just rip it with your hands, add the olive oil, add the sea salt, and toss. One thing I forgot to mention about the oranges is you want to cut long slices. You don't want to cut little chunks. So they want to be looking like rings, okay? Now, what happens is when you toss them, everything starts to fall apart a little bit. That's the beauty of the salad. It's really, really nice and simple. Now, here is one variation that I can tell you, and that's it. You're done. That's how easy the salad is. It's just cutting it up and mixing it together. Now, what I do sometimes is if pomegranate is just, some people don't like it. I'm one of them. I'm not a really crazy person with pomegranate. I like it a little bit. But you can actually substitute watermelon. Watermelon, all you have to do is get maybe one of those quarters of watermelon, take it out, take the seeds out, cut it, and mix it with the oranges, cilantro, olive oil, and salt. It is beautiful. Juices up really nicely, and it has a terrific flavor. Now, that is my first one. Love, love, love that salad. It always brings me back to feelings of summer and freshness, and the citrus is really lovely. Not a lot of salt, not a lot of olive oil. It's absolutely perfect. Okay. Now, the other one that I wanted to talk to you about is a little bit different, but still, I have to tell you, I'm a cilantro lover, so there's going to be more cilantro going on in this salad. This salad, could this be any easier? I think it's actually easier than the one that I just told you. It's five-spiced tofu, sesame oil, and coriander. Do I have a name for this? No, let's just call it that, because basically that's what you're going to be eating. Of course, you need to like tofu, all right? A lot of people don't like it, but what I'd like to suggest is if you try it in a salad like this, don't think of, oh, I have to eat tofu. Think about it as a consistency. Think about it as a different piece to the puzzle of the salad, because if you think about, oh, it's tofu, it's fake, I'll just rather have meat, that's kind of limiting. You want to think about it outside of the box. Now, this is what you need to do. You want to get two bunches of cilantro. Now, I like the cilantro leaves. Now, you can get them at Chinese markets. They're not the cilantro that's closer to the parsley family looking. They're actually, pardon me, flat leaf cilantro, which is delicious if you can find that. If you can't, traditional is fine. Now, you want to get just the leaves and stems and cut them all up. You want to chop them. I chop them pretty roughly. You don't want them to be little bitty pieces again. You just want them to be, you know, just chunks. You can even rip with your hands if you want, but I think this time it's easier just to chop them. You want to get about 3.5 ounces of five-spice firm tofu. Now, if you cannot find that, what I suggest is taking the liquid out of the tofu, as you normally would, sprinkling it with Chinese five-spice, and just patting it down, or cutting the tofu and rolling it in the five-spice. It's really whatever you want to do, but if you can find the five-spice firm, it's much easier. Now, you want to get the tofu, and you want to slice it finely into almost like matchsticks. But think about French fries, like McDonald's French fries. That's the kind of consistency that you want. But like a McDonald's French fry cut in half. All right? Then you want to get a table of soy sauce. I like the dark soy sauce because it's a little bit lighter on the sodium. But you can choose regular or light soy sauce as well. 1 tablespoon of rice vinegar and 2 tablespoons of sesame oil. If you want this to be a little bit healthier, I would suggest you use olive oil instead of the sesame. And then, oh my gosh, are you ready for how easy this is? Just toss them all together in a bowl. So you're going to toss the cilantro, the tofu, the soy sauce, the rice vinegar, the sesame or olive oil, and I serve it immediately. Okay? because what happens is once you add all those agents, just like the pomegranate and an orange salad, they get a little bit soggy, so you want to serve it as quickly as you can. Now, the last one that I have, I hope I have enough time to go through it. I'm getting looks. But we have a wonderful, oh my gosh, it's wonderful Greek salad. Okay, for the Greek salad, this one, it serves, I don't know, 7 people. But if you're doing this one, what I would really, really suggest that you do is to make it as a side. I'm going to go through this really quickly. You need 1 red onion, 1 tablespoon of dried oregano, black pepper to taste, 1 tablespoon of red wine vinegar, about 3 cups of extra virgin olive oil. That's the only bad part. 5 tomatoes, a teaspoon of sugar, some sea salt for taste, a large head of romaine lettuce, fennel, 1 ball, 4 ounces of black olives that are pitted, and 14 ounces of feta cheese, and a little bit of lemon. Now, what you want to do is you want to get the red onion, and you want to, finely slice it, sprinkle some oregano over it, and grind some pepper, pour the vinegar and oil, and then toss, and then leave it in the refrigerator covered for 2 hours. It is unbelievable what happens to it. It turns bright blood red, and it's just absolutely unbelievable. So what I would do then is literally cut up all of the rest of the ingredients and mix together with the dressing. It's that easy. You just basically cut it to however you like. Some people like to quarter. Some people like to half, twice the tomato. I mean, whatever you like to do. This is basically to your own tastes. You want to cut the fennel like you would cut celery, and you want to just take the romaine like you would for any other salad that you'd like to eat. Now, I'm sure that we can get really chefy on this and tell you exactly what diameter you need to cut the pieces, but it's a salad. Let's make it easy. Let's not make everything into a work of art. The beauty of it, I have to say, is the red onion, the pepper, oregano, vinegar, and oil. I am not telling you, it's unbelievable what that does. If you can, and if you want to just make some Greek salad, Greek dressing, you can have whenever, I highly suggest that you just have that in your refrigerator. It keeps up to a week. You can use it at any point, and it's so fresh and delicious. All right. Pardon me. I think we've done really well for time. We've gone through a lot today, and hopefully those salads will help you, start off the new year with something, some fresh ideas. When you're trying to eat light, it's not as hard as you think. You just really want to think about trying out new flavors, try out some new vegetables, try out some new different types of seafood, try out some new lean meat, try to stay away from lots of oil, lots of butter, lots of cream, and you're golden. And those salads right there, those are all dressed with really light ingredients. So they're nice, light. They're not cream-based, which is wonderful. And, they'll just give you that little bit of flavor to get you going on the day. And when it comes to email marketing, my final thoughts on that is, really, if you're not doing it, do it. If you're not capturing names, start capturing them. And, think about it as not a push marketing strategy where you're pushing yourself on top of these people. You want to just reaching out like a friend. How do you email your business associates or when you engage in a sales conversation via email with a prospect? Are you constantly hitting them with images of your face smiling with a big 20% off icon next to it? You're not. So think about that next time that you're sending out an email bot. While certain things work for advertising, not all of them work all of the time for email marketing. Whereas you can do these sort of things if you have a certain type of business, but engaging your audience will give you so much more better returns. All right, folks, that's all I got for you today. Thanks so much for joining and putting up with my cold. We'll be with you next week live Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, check out servefreshmedia.com. Free ebooks, videos, all the things that you love about everything, social media, and cooking. Until next time, this is Chris Pinson, the social media chef, and you all have a wonderful week.